This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And I'm Roshan Kunnison with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. It is now 7:07 a.m., not a very bright morning, and we, in 15 minutes, will be discussing highway construction safety issues with the Malaysian Society for Occupational Safety and Health. And we've actually got a poll for you this morning. What should be the immediate priority to prevent more construction accidents? Lynn, what are the options?
So the options are better safety standards, stricter punishments, tighter enforcement, or other. If you do vote for other, do tell us what. We've had 12 votes so far. 42% have voted for better safety standards, so that currently is in the lead.
Fantastic. But before that, we're going to take a look at markets. Noel, how did the US markets perform overnight?
The Dow closed down 0.9%. S&P 500 was down 0.8%. And Nasdaq was also down 1.1%. In Asia, also not much luck. The Nikkei 225 closed down 0.6%. Shanghai was down 0.9%. STI was up 0.1%. And the Hang Seng and the FBM KLCI were both down about 1.3%.
And if I take a look at some of the commodity prices right now, gold is flat at $1,730 per ounce, down 9% year to date. Brent crude is at just under $61 a barrel. And Bitcoin is at $54,500, still holding that 88% level up year to date. And for more on global markets, we speak with Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Jeff, thank you so much for your time this morning. Now, Fed Chief Powell and Treasury Secretary Yellen made their first joint testimony before a U.S. House committee. What did you think of Powell's comments that inflation will rise but won't be an issue, and as well as Yellen's views on the rising deficit?
Yeah, good morning. I think Mr. Powell held his message. This is a completely consistent message that he's been pumping out for the last couple of months, that he feels that the inflation will rise as the economy recovers, but it's a function of the economy recovering, and that it will be limited in scope and transitory, which makes sense because when you get one-off price rises into the CPIs, they drop out after a year. So inflation should start ticking back down. It's not this sticky wage price spiral inflation that hollows out economies over time. So if you wanted to call it that, it's good inflation. Ms. Yellen talked about tax rises being required to fund the next round of spending plans. But she did hint that that really wouldn't happen until employment had reached or unemployment had reached escape velocity. So I think the combination of those two, a dovish Fed and Ms. Yellen talking about tax hikes, was enough to send stocks slightly lower. They both also mentioned that asset valuations do look elevated by historic standards.
Now, one of the hot topics over the last few weeks, Jeff, has been the U.S. Treasury bill. It's now at, the 10-year bill is now about 1.6% its yield. How well do you think Treasury auctions will do this week and the possible implications on the yield curve?
Yeah, this one hasn't really been talked about much, but I do believe there is a slight risk around this. So short-term auctions, we had a two-year overnight that was quite well received, and I think that accounts for some of the dollar strength overnight, these inflows by international investors to bid in this auction. I mean, it's about $183 billion worth of bonds they're auctioning this week. They're all short term. We have a 5- and 7-year auction coming up. I think they'll be a little bit more important. So if the bids are strong on those, we should see stocks move back higher. But if the bid to cover ratio is weak on those two auctions, and they are short term, so they're not as important as the 10 and 30s, then we could see equities move lower and bond yields move higher again.
In your note that we received from you yesterday, you said that you know, how well the auctions will do depends on news about the stimulus plan. What are you expecting on that front?
Yeah, they seem to be telegraphing some thoughts about the stimulus, but it's extremely light on detail. Ms. Yellen last night, for example, didn't give any hints about what the contents of it would be. And some proposals are being put towards President Biden towards the end of the week. I think we actually really need to see what the nuts and bolts are of the proposed details before we can draw a conclusion. But I do believe that the markets really haven't been pricing this in. If it looks like they are going to try and get this package across the line sooner rather than later, that will have implications for bond yields. They should move higher So I think in that respect, technical stocks, so your NASDAQs, et cetera, may find themselves under pressure. But that should be good for cyclical markets, including the Dow Jones, but also cyclical markets in Asia, such as Malaysia and Singapore.
Now, Powell also threw cold water on cryptocurrencies on Monday. However, looking at the Bitcoin frenzy by both corporates and retailers, are financial markets in agreement with him, do you think, Jeff?
Not really. And when we listened to him, he was saying that they had no intention of creating a digital US dollar anytime soon. We know that China is busily working on a digital yuan at the moment. So it certainly wasn't enough to knock Bitcoin off its tracks. Bitcoin is moving to its own beat, and it's actually, if we're honest, quite anti-establishment. So probably the more that Mr. Powell comments on it, the higher it'll go. So Bitcoin's moving around on speculative momentum and not on the Fed's comments. But I think what it does say is that the Fed doesn't have any plans right now in the crypto space. Perhaps we may see some more oversight in that space. I think that's the risk for cryptocurrencies, is that we start seeing a lot more oversight by developed market governments of that crypto space.
There was a survey that was done by Goldman Sachs, I think, early this month, where it indicated that institutional investors, and quite a high percentage of them, are considering adding Bitcoin to their portfolio. What would be an incentive for such investors to want to do that?
Probably easy money. When you look at the volatility, if you look at the volatility, it's sky high. But unfortunately, it came back down to earth overnight. I think it's quite often that we see 5 to 7% moves. And obviously, we've had an exponential rally this year, although it's not been a linear progression. So the mantra that I beat is there's a big difference between a tradable asset and an investable asset. And I don't believe that cryptos are necessarily investable assets, but I do acknowledge that they're tradable assets. You can make some good money and you could lose some good money by trading them. So I think what we're seeing here is companies perhaps following the money. If they're seeing, for example, in banking, if they're seeing demand from their private clients, for example, to trade or to invest in them, then they'll put the processes in to make that happen. So in this case, I think what we're seeing is they're following the money and they're following the volatility. I don't necessarily, the jury's still out about cryptos in the longer term, although I do acknowledge that they may become a lot more mainstream. They don't act like it now. And I just don't see developed market or global economies around the world giving up control over their monetary policies to cryptos. I think they're going to run into a regulatory wall a long time before that.
Jeff, I was a bit stunned by your statement there, Jeff. I lost my voice because of that.
Answer was so good that yes. You lost your voice. I'm very happy.
Exactly. I'm looking at oil right now, Jeff, and it's down 6%, now $60.80 $0.80 a barrel. By no means a bad price after the last year we've taken a look. But what caused this sharp downturn here?
Got to say, this one has actually caught me out here. I was looking at it this morning and scratching my head. I did actually feel that there might be another leg down. I think such was the weight of speculative long positions and the fact that oil's recovery had very quickly run out of steam after the sell-off last Friday. I was concerned that we might see another leg out down to cull out more speculative longs. That looks to be what has happened. Also adding to those fears is that things are clearly not going to plan with the European recovery now, with their vaccine woes and the slow pace of it, plus all their renewed lockdowns. But also what people are missing here is that India is having a spike in COVID-19 cases as well. And they're the third largest oil importer in the world. And if they stop buying more oil because activity slows because of new lockdowns or COVID-19, that will impact on markets as well. We've seen the futures structure flip, shall we say, to contango. I won't bore everybody with that, but it's sort of like a negative looking structure at the moment, and that hints that there might be some more downside pain ahead. But I do believe that we have seen a structural low in oil. I don't think OPEC has got any chance now of loosening their production cut targets. Next week, I think they'll probably meet, or shortly in the week after. So there could be some more short-term pain, but I still remain positive on the outlook for oil, and I think we're going to see it move back up towards $70 a barrel.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning and breaking the markets down for us. That was Jeffrey Helly, Senior Market Analyst with Awanda. Very quickly, I want to touch on this news that we got a few hours ago that according to Bloomberg, Robinhood is supposedly said to have filed confidentially for a US IPO. The popular trading app has been, very popular recently, especially over the last year as retail trading has risen. This is something that could be very, very interesting to watch, and the company could go public as soon as late in the second quarter, but the timing could change. And this is, of course, based on sources speaking to Bloomberg.
And I cannot help but think, when I think of Robinhood, I think of StashAway, right? And you're going to be speaking to them on The Breakfast Grill today.
Yes. In fact, I will. I'll be speaking to Michele Ferrario on The Breakfast Grill today. It'll be very interesting. They have reached $1 billion in AUM faster than the pioneers over in the US. They did it in 3.5 years. The pioneers took 8 years. But end of the day, all this won't matter if they don't hit profitability. So we'll be having that conversation at 8 a.m. But speaking of earnings, let's talk about GameStop and Adobe very quickly. Lynn, how did GameStop do in its earnings quarter?
So their fourth quarter results missed Wall Street's top and bottom line estimates. They saw $1.34 in earnings per share on revenue of $2.1 billion. They did see global e-commerce sales jump 175%, but they also continue to suspend guidance so far. Strong performance is expected, though, in February.
And GameStop was down 11% in after-hours trading. Very quickly, Adobe announced first-quarter earnings that beat expectations. Net income came at $1.3 billion, up over 30%, and revenue climbed about 26% to $3.9 billion. Sales was led by digital media. And I had a conversation yesterday with the Southeast Asia head. You can check that over on the BFM app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be discussing highway construction safety with the Malaysian Society for Occupational Safety and Health. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.